countries including Libya, Somalia, Syria, and Yemen expired on September 24th, making the International Refugee Assistance Project's case against the ban moot, according to the court yesterday. President Trump is expected to soon decertify the Iran nuclear deal, but some lawmakers are skeptical.
As flawed as the deal is, I believe we must now enforce the hell out of it.
In a hearing today, California Republican Ed Royce said it would be wise to work with allies to make the deal work better. Royce chairs the House Foreign Affairs Committee. New York Democrat Elliot Engel also opposed the accord, but thinks decertification would be a grave mistake. This is USA Radio News.
For many businesses, hiring is tough. You want access to highly qualified candidates fast. And you don't want to sign a long-term contract or pay upfront fees. That's why you need Indeed.com, delivering 6 times more hires than any other job site, according to independent research. Indeed is offering new users a $50 credit to give their first job post premium visibility as a sponsored job. Redeem this offer at Indeed.com/credit. That's Indeed.com/credit. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
A Mandalay Bay hotel employee is describing the panic when shooter Stephen Paddock opened fire on him before the gunman targeted the crowd at the country music festival.
The rounds started coming down the hallway. I could feel them pass right behind my head. Something hit me in the back, and I took cover.
Stephen Chuck appeared on NBC's Today Show this morning, and he said he felt incredibly blessed to have made it out of the Las Vegas hotel alive.
You know, I was kind of in disbelief, but I told myself, you know, remain calm.
Chuck was one of the first people to encounter Paddock when he went to check out a faulty fire exit door on the 32nd floor. He credits his survival to a security guard yelling at him to take cover from the rapid gunfire. An asteroid is going to pass close by our planet, USA's Chris Barnes reports.
NASA says the space rock will come within 31,000 miles of the planet on Thursday night, far enough that it won't be a threat, but close enough that an observatory in Hawaii is going to offer live streaming of that flyby. It'll be on SLOOH.com, that's SLOOH.com, beginning at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Thursday. And while the world is watching, NASA says it will test its planetary defense systems, which it says are the space agency's protocols for use in the event that an asteroid does appear to be on a collision course with the Earth. I'm Chris Barnes.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
Tune in every Monday morning at 10 a.m. on 100 in Chamber Radio for Chamber in Action with Chamber President Chris Phelan and Good Morning host Big C, where we'll keep you informed on all the issues, all the initiatives of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce and our business community here in Hunterdon County.
All right, the time is, I'm usually doing the morning shows here, so it's 3:06. And it's time for Hunterdon Chamber Radio weather. Flemington right now, it's a bit overcast. We've had a little bit of a wet spell right now. Temperature in Flemington at the moment is 71 degrees, mostly cloudy skies. 20% chance of precipitation. That's been gradually moving down. Cloudy skies today, slight chance of a rain shower, high 73, winds east at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Showers this evening becoming a steady rain overnight, low 56, winds east-northeast to 10 to 15 miles an hour, chance of rain 90%. Could get close to a quarter of an inch of rain tonight. Cloudy and slight chance of a rain shower tomorrow, 63. East-northeast winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Overcast on Friday the 13th, the high of 65. Shower or two on Saturday in the morning. It'll be 76. Sunday, sunshine and clouds mixed with a autumnal temperature of 81. And then we move back to slight chance of a rain shower on Monday with a high of 68. Temperatures in the area right now, it's 71 in Raritan, 73 in Kingwood, 75 in Stockton, 69 up in Asbury, 70 in Long Valley, and 70 in White House. Stay tuned for Talented People right after this.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on 100 Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@100-chamber.org.
Well, welcome to Talented People. Normally you would hear Jeannie Murphy on the mic here, but she's had a little car trouble and asked me to sit in. So I got to have a great show for you today. We're going to talk to Nicole Smith, and we're going to talk about literacy today. So we're going to bring her on in and learn all about what's going on. So good morning. I say good morning all the time, Nicole, so got to get used to that. Good afternoon, Nicole.
Good afternoon. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you here. So you're an old veteran of 100 Chamber Radio. You've been here a couple of times. You said you did it with Michelle Heidi and also with Jeannie Murphy.
Correct.
So we'll just scratch the surface a little bit about who you are and what you do and a little bit of a bio. You told me off air you're a perpetual volunteer.
Correct. I grew up in the Midwest in Iowa, and my parents just got us all involved in volunteering from an early age,
right,
from the JCs to being a candy striper at the hospital with my grandmother, different things, different opportunities. We were always encouraged to give back to others, and it's just kind of continued throughout my life. And as my kids have gotten older, I've had more time to get back into volunteering for myself and also to model for them.
Right. So was there a reason, a rationale in your ancestry that volunteering was so big?
Not really. Just, you know, the salt of the earth, heart of the Midwest, kind of be friendly to all. My grandfather said if you borrow something, always give it back in better condition right. than you borrowed it in, things like that. Just good old homeschooled values, I guess.
Right. And it, how does it resonate with you? It's obviously something that's been demonstrated to you and you've taken on over your years. How young were you when you started doing something like that and kind of going with your grandmother and all that?
We started going to the JC parties when I was probably a little kid, and at that time it just meant go to the Christmas party and get a gift and hang out. So that was pretty good, and, you know, good food, candy, whatever. And then I always, you know, my grandfather took care of the grounds and the flowers around the firehouse, mm-hmm. and I think my dad worked for IBM, so I think it was kind of part of the corporate culture way back then.
To give back.
And then my grandmother, like I said, was always delivering mail at the hospital, so she started bringing me with her. And then I tried admissions one time driving wheelchairs, and I wasn't so good at that, so I went back to mail. just different things. After I got out of college, I always loved babies, but I wasn't ready to have babies. So after college, I volunteered at the local hospital in Austin, Texas, and held babies every Saturday afternoon.
Wow.
Yeah, just different things kind of followed my passion.
Do you see a lot of people doing this, or do you see charity and volunteering getting more improving in our life and our society, or is it getting worse?
I think it depends on who you are and where you are. I think a lot of people are too busy today, so
right.
volunteering is somewhat an afterthought, or it is a something to put on your resume or your mm-hmm. application. So I think. But I'm all for that. I'm all for, at our high school, Ridge High School in Basking Ridge, they mandate 25 hours of community service with
yeah.
a single organization. So some people feel that's egregious, but I think even if your heart's not into it, devoting yourself to one organization for a short period of time exposes you to things. I'm all about exposure.
25 hours. I mean, how hard is that, really?
Well, when you're a busy sophomore in high school and you've got SAT, ACT, no. college visits, testing, sports, music, you
Look,
name it.
I got a 20 and a 21-year-old at home, and I marvel at how much time they can waste.
I hear you. I got a few teenagers myself.
So, yeah. I mean, you know, they're busy. I get it. But they also find a way to really throw away hours. So, and I've explained it to my kids as well that they complain that they don't really foster relationships very well. And I said to them, why don't you volunteer? You know, one of the best things that happens when you volunteer is you're put in the same box with some other people who have the same desires, the same passion.
Correct.
And that's the first step towards creating some type of a relationship, some type of friendship.
Yes.
Do you see that? Do you have anything like that with the volunteering that you do?
Oh, absolutely. I'm not shy at all about telling everybody that I volunteer for Roon Treed because I believe in the organization and the mission. But the selfish part in me is I've gotten to meet so many wonderful people in mm-hmm. Princeton, locally, all around the world. And I'm a people person, so that's where I get the gumption and the energy and the focus to stay. This is my seventh year with this group. So
okay, so that leads us into what has Nicole done in her perpetual volunteering career? So can you give us some idea of some of the organizations you've worked with, the significant ones?
Well, when I moved to New York City years ago, I worked at the Foundling Hospital in New York, which had different kids with various illnesses, and the little girl that I went to visit, her family lived far away, and so I would just go spend time with her, push her stroller around the halls, talk to her, mm-hmm. things like that. So that was one. And then one of the other, more recently, when we moved to New Jersey, I volunteered with the Community Soup Kitchen of Morristown, running a team there for my church. I volunteered at the church, and also currently through a church connection again, I've been helping run the soup kitchen in Plainfield, New Jersey, once a month.
For most of us in Hunterdon County, we don't get it. We're completely abstracted from the people who are homeless or hungry. So if you could just give us a little bit of insight as to what you witness and how those soup kitchens help and make the impact that you're looking for.
Well, the soup kitchen is basically just a catch-all phrase because, especially the Morristown Soup Kitchen, they're a community. They offer food, but a lot of times they offer housing assistance and job assistance and family assistance and translation and filling out forms, and there's really much more involved in helping those individuals than just food.
Any particular people that you remember from those times that impacted you?
Well, there's this one guy, Jerry, that he is always talking to me whenever I show up, and he brought me a little trinket kit Christmas gift last year, which was really sweet. And then there's this one guy at the soup kitchen every month, and you never know who he's going to show up as, because sometimes he's dressed as the Blues Brothers and sometimes he's dressed as a baseball guy.
Right.
And he always takes a placemat and borrows a pen and writes a note to all of us thanking us for our service.
That's cool.
Yes.
And it's nice to get that kind of gratitude. It's as simple as that is, right? We've completely lost sight of that. So we're at a time now where we're going to take a quick break. We're talking to Nicole Smith about volunteering, and we're going to branch off to talk about her new endeavor, which isn't really new. You've been doing it for 7 years. But in comparison to all of our other charitable endeavors, we'll find out from that right after the break. You're listening to WHCR-DB. This is Talented People, and we'll be right back.
This is Chamber President Chris Phelan inviting you to the 29th Annual Business and Home Expo with our Restaurant Showcase. This wonderful event will happen on Thursday, November 9th at our new location, Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington from 2 to 7 p.m. If you're a business or organization and would like to participate, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at hunterdonchamber.org.
This is Tony Clark, Parrot Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
You're listening to Talented People, and this is Big C filling in for Jeannie Murphy. We'll be back next week. We got Nicole Smith with me, and she is chapter leader of the Central New Jersey chapter of Room to Read. And we talked a little bit about her volunteering career, and we're going to find a little bit more about Room to Read now. So, Nicole, when did you find out or learn about Room to Read?
7 years ago, right. A friend of mine in Basking Ridge, her husband works in New York, and the founder of Room to Read came to speak at one of their luncheons, and she found out about the volunteer chapter network around the world and decided to gather up some moms and start the chapter, and so we did.
So what was so appealing about it to you? You're still working, I think, soup kitchens and hospitals, so it was all kind of medical and food. So when did you transform into thinking about this as a need to be fulfilled?
Well, the route has always been to volunteer, and this one also had an element of timing. So my youngest child was about 18 months, and I started to taste a little bit of freedom of having more time to devote back to what I like to do, and we started the chapter, and I have a finance degree. So I have a business background, and the thing that appealed to me about Room to Read is that it was started by a Microsoft executive who saw a need in the world for literacy and saw a way to make large, long-term sustainable change in the area of literacy in developing countries and the social entrepreneurship aspect of it. Everything about it appealed to me, and we just started going, and then it evolved from there.
She's also hammering, by the way, in the back. We got some work going on in the outside of the studio, and it's kind of filtering in here. But we're making do, so I apologize. You saw the need to go in this direction, and you said you're going to start a chapter. How did you decide that you were going to take on not only the volunteering aspect of it, but also create a chapter and start to cultivate it?
Well, they make the process very easy. Basically, it's a form you fill out that says that you'll do your best to devote some time and effort to helping the Room to Read cause for a period of 18 months. So I it was all very open, very flexible, very open to be creative. So I like to say we have zero budget and 100% creativity. So I've been free to do whatever I want, however I want to promote this cause.
And when did you decide that you were going to take this on? And what was the time frame between that day and actually opening your doors?
Well, I run it pretty much out of my house or my car, or wherever I am. My email. It's a very open, gradual process, and the chapter leaders take it however they want. And then about the same time, there was a retired school teacher down in Princeton. She taught English for 35 years. She was interested, and they connected us. So I've been working with her to create events and create awareness.
So what is the mission?
The mission of Room to Read is to bring literacy and gender equality in education to children worldwide.
Now, those, do they go together? And some, I read that before we started, and I was trying to figure out if those are two different paths or they somehow go together.
Well, they do eventually. The first focus is on literacy. So you get children, regardless of gender, children reading at an early age, giving them the ability to read, the instruction to read, making them excited about reading to become lifelong readers. Okay. So then you learn to read correctly, and then you're able to read to learn. And the other critical point comes in adolescence, and in many developing countries, girls are not either allowed to go to school or deemed worthy to go to school or prevented to go to school because they're menstruating or health or they have to stay home and take care of the children's fetch water, other things like that. So that's the other critical part.
Now, is that – now, I understand that as a third world challenge. Is that something that's going on in central New Jersey?
Well, that's the clarification I need to make. So Room to Read only focuses on literacy and gender equality in education in 14 countries in Asia and Africa.
Okay.
So we do not benefit any people directly in New Jersey. The chapter focus here is to raise awareness for global issues and to raise money.
I see.
And we do a lot in Princeton because Princeton's a global higher education Ivy League institution that is full of global students, global professors, global issues, policy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we come in. But the other thing I like to point out is that compared to other countries, even if you're a poor person in New Jersey or in the United States, you're wealthy beyond means compared to developing nations.
Right. So what are the 14 countries right now that Room to Read's targeting?
Oh, goodness. Okay. Bangladesh, Cambodia, Nepal, Laos, Vietnam, Vietnam, Sri Lanka, Tanzania, Peru. That's the only one. That's a new one, Peru.
Got eight.
Oh, my gosh.
Just six more to go. It's a big test.
Oh, okay, wait a second. Bangladesh, Cambodia. Oh, India.
Really?
Yeah, India.
I'm surprised about that one.
Yeah, well, there's India's... There's a
very,
long,
very... Dis,
there's
cast,
a dichotomy. Yeah, there's engineers, attorneys, and physicians, and then you've got a gazillion very, very poor people.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay, so...
Sorry.
Tanzania.
You did that one.
Okay, Zambia.
That's 10.
South Africa.
11.
Okay, what am I... Oh, Indonesia.
12.
Okay. I should have had a list.
No, that's good.
You can go to roomtree.org and look it up.
All right, we're good. But okay, so the your... Originally, I was kind of looking at it that we're trying to solve a literacy problem here, but now it turns out that we're recognizing that there's a difference between what Central New Jersey is dealing with and what these 14 countries are. How does Room to Read, and I know you're not completely in knee deep or more with the organization's strategies, but how did they come about figuring out that those 14 are the most important to target at this point? Is there something that's characteristically important that we need to...
Yes, yes. The important part is the Room to Read management makes sure that when they go into a country, they have a person heading up that country that is native, knows the language, knows the culture, knows the setting, and that has been tantamount to anything else, because the way the founder likes to talk about it, it's not the Red Cross or the UN or somebody sending a bunch of Americans in there to boss everybody around.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all native people. 90% of all employees are native in-country individuals running the programs. So that, based on connections, that's how we determine where we go next. And Sri Lanka, we went into because of the tsunami, was it, over there? So certain times there's different, and then Nepal was the very first country, and then when Nepal had that giant earthquake, there were extra efforts put in there to get kids back in school, whether it was in an outdoor facility or temporary facility, but most of the Room to Read schools remained intact.
Right.
But sometimes it's a natural disaster that will drive that to the forefront, but traditionally, and most specifically, it's related to the people that run the organization.
I see. So we've seen other big events where, like, Oprah opened a school and a couple other big celebrities opened the schools. So what is the footprint of Room to Read? You're going to have an event in the near future, and it sounds like you do other events over the calendar year. And we'll talk about what those events are like, but when you finish that event and there's a collective funding, what's the next process? Is it go over to achieve a particular school, or are you handing it to another group that's going to take it from there?
Well, it all goes straight to headquarters in San Francisco, and basically Room to Read focuses on training teachers, building schools, filling libraries. The other big part that Room to Read does is creates books in the local languages of the kids. So a lot of these kids have never even been able to read, but they've never seen a book in their own language. They've never seen their own written language, so it's hard to learn to read
right.
in a country where you...
God, we take such that for
exactly.
such granted.
So people constantly want to give me books, but yeah. and I'm very grateful for that, but none of the kids in our countries read English, plus books are very expensive to ship, and there's just no guarantee that they'll get where they're going.
Right.
So we've developed other creative events around that philosophy. But Room to Read has published over 1,000 original titles in 30 different languages. So it's not a conversion of a Dr. Seuss tale into Lao. It is hiring local authors and illustrators and training them and hosting writers' workshops so that people, again, that speak the language, that are native to the country and the culture, can create stories that are relevant to those children. So when they go to learn to read in their own language, in their own mother tongue, they can relate to a story that isn't about...
That's cool.
It's very cool.
That is very cool. We take for granted that when I have friends and family that have a young child that's born and they get around that 2-3-year-old range... it's easy to go down to Toys R Us or Babies R Us or Amazon and just buy the whole Dr. Seuss volume set.
Mm-hmm.
But that applies to us because that's our culture. Now you're saying that none of that exists, and you need somebody to start all that. So this organization goes out and seeks folks who have that capability of being an author or are authors and
yeah,
write
they facilitate that through contests, and also so then it also boosts the local industry. So you're not going to
yeah.
have a Barnes and Noble in every corner. Most of these people live on less than a dollar a day. They don't have disposable income.
Right.
They don't have books available. So Room to Read, because he worked at Microsoft for so long, he was taught to think big, go big or go home, go bold, go sustainable, go long term. So every decision that Room to Read makes is efficient and makes sense for the long term.
Neat. Wow, that's so cool. What are some of the big projects that you either personally feel good about, or is there some way that they tie together the eventual achievement of that project to the work that you have done here?
When we raise money and raise awareness, we're all feeding into corporate. So I don't say, well, sometimes we differentiate where we want this to go to girls' education or we want to go to general literacy, but we all pull it together because I just feel like the management knows better where the need is going to be met with
okay.
the most efficiency. And the other thing is, because we're all connected all over the world, we have Sydney and Singapore and Paris and London and San Francisco, we have all these chapters all over the world, and we network together. If someone's got a great idea and you want to replicate it in Boston or San Diego, we share all of our ideas, and some things do well in certain environments compared to others, also based on what kind of skill set you have.
Sure.
So with my background in being raised in a volunteer environment and wanting my children to get involved, we started a mother-daughter chapter in Basking Ridge where the mothers and the daughters were involved. And one of the things that we did for 5 years in a row is we took all those gently used children's books that people were trying to get rid of and clean their closets out, and we assembled them all at the community center. And then in June, we held a sale and sold every book back to the community for $1 to ramp up the summer reading for the local kids so that they would be encouraged to read over the summer. And then because it only costs $1 to publish a book in the Room to Read languages, every dollar that a child paid to buy a book at our sale went to purchase or print a book in the Room to Read world.
You know what's so cool about what you just described, and I'm sure you're well aware of it, but I need to point it out anyway because it's an epiphany for me. So you did the whole book cycle thing where you sold the books and stuff like that. You also have a mother-daughter chapter where it's completely focused on bringing up the female and making sure that they are elevated to get the confidence to do all that. And that's so everything about what your chapter does is also fitting into the mission.
Correct.
Very neat. Very neat. And then is there a chronological stream that goes from those young kids that are trying to learn to read and then they eventually become the adolescents, or that all of a sudden the program switches to help with the gender equality?
They're kind of two different pieces. So it depends on which village they're working in, which country, where we're working. So the literacy piece with the libraries, the book printing, publishing, and the filling of the libraries, teacher training and things like that, that's one part of it. And then they identify different villages and patterns where girls are maybe falling out of school or not able to go to school because they need to work in the fields or they don't have the community support because being this International Day of the Girl, people need to know that the most undervalued resource in the world today is girls.
Yep.
If you educate a girl, she's more likely to prolong marriage. She's more likely to have fewer children. She's more likely to educate those children. And she's more likely to devote 90% of what she earns back into her family and her village and her economy. Mm-hmm. So basically, you educate a whole generation and future generations when you invest in girls.
So does the program focus on the culture to have them change their mindset, or do you focus on the confidence of the individual girls so that they overcome the culture?
There's several pieces involved. One of the most significant and one of the most different about Room to Read is that we have what we call social mobilizers. So these aren't necessarily teachers. They are kind of a teacher and a tutor and a mentor and a mobilizer, and they work with parents to instill in them the value of education, because the parent a lot of times only sees, well, my daughter's not in the field earning money. She's wasting away learning. So they don't understand the investment and the future return possible. So it's an education process on many levels.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, so we understand what we're trying to achieve and who we're trying to help. So then we get into talking about what's going on here on our soil. So you decided you were going to open a new chapter.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like to grab that information and start that with? Not in any organization, people just don't come knocking on your door. So how did you acquire the information and then send your message out to acquire people to partner with you to become the Central Jersey chapter?
Well, that was part of the appeal of it, because I can do it on my time, at my rate, when I have the ability to devote to it, which turns out to be a lot because I love it.
Yeah.
And with the social media and the chapter network, there's over 50 chapters around the world. So people in the chapter network, you can email each other. We can look at what other Facebook posts, what people are doing in other chapters. And then once every year, we all gather in San Francisco for a chapter leader conference.
Mm-hmm.
And we have high-end investors come in and talk about why they believe in Room to Read. We get to meet with the board and the executives. The CEO of YouTube is on the board, Susan Wojcicki.
Mm-hmm.
So we get to meet all of these. I really don't read People magazine, but I am I love any kind of business celebrity. So it's like going to the Oscars for me when I get to go to San Francisco. I get to meet all these business moguls.
Cool, very cool. So you started it 7 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and is it just you, or is there more people that are involved now?
Well, some people come and go because, you know, they move away or your lives change or things become, your priorities change. But Sally is in Princeton. And like I said, she taught for 35 years at the Stuart Day School, taught mm-hmm. English, and she's very devoted. So we work with her. And then there's another woman who actually got involved when she was in Singapore working. And they moved back to the Princeton area. And she stayed involved and joined our chapter when she moved back to the States.
Great. So we got a little bit of a chapter here. You said there's only 50 in the United States. So we're
50 around the world.
Around the world. So we're privileged to have you right here. All right. So now we have an event that's going to be coming up next week at Lone Eagle. Good place that I like to frequent from time to time. So what's it all about? What's going to happen there?
We are very fortunate to have Mike Michalowicz. He is a Jersey boy who became an entrepreneur the day he graduated from college and has built several multi-million dollar businesses and sold them. And he's an author and a speaker and an entrepreneur, and he has graciously donated his time to speak at Lone Eagle next week to empower millennials or anybody wanting a career change, because the crux of his talk is going to be an entrepreneur of your own life.
Yep.
So personal responsibility, go after what you want, learn, do, grow. He's going to talk about all that. And Lone Eagle's the perfect setting. We've got Jane's Kitchen, who is in Ringo's and also lives down the street from me in Liberty Corner. She is providing a warm pretzel bar and cookies. So it's kind of a community event, locally sponsored and embracing local vendors, local businesses for a global benefit.
Cool. So what's the time and place? I mean, we said it was Lone Eagle, but what's the time over there?
It's on Thursday, October 19th,
right.
And it's from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. We're going to give away raffles or raffle prizes, books. And also the other very important part is we're partnering with Pathfinder, which is a program that encourages kids to do kind of like what color is your parachute, to identify your strengths and your passions, and they're going to work with you with coaching to get you on your career path.
Neat. So you got a little, it's like a little incubator to help people understand what their next step is. And millennials, I don't think it's any different for anybody at this point, but we just point out to millennials because they happen to be the generation that's in the queue right now. They're
correct.
Having trouble figuring out what their world is going to be like and what their career is going to be like. So that's what this is helping. So now, how does this help all those 14 countries? How does those things tie together?
This is an awareness builder. So more people that come to hear Mike speak with his draw and Lone Eagle and the Hunterdon County, we're going to hopefully introduce some more folks to Room to Read.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I'd like to focus on with the New Jersey chapter that's unique is that there's so many mom-and-pop local businesses here, which is very special because I've lived in Dallas and California where the big box stores rule, and I much prefer the community that surrounds a lot of these towns. So with everything that we do, we encourage collaboration with small businesses
mm-hmm.
and create a common environment that's both locally and globally beneficial.
Neat. And your aim out of the end of this, of course, is to help the millennials move on in their direction, but what's your aim at the end of this evening? Are you looking for people to pair up, to collaborate with you in future events, volunteer directly? What's your end game?
Absolutely. I kind of like to think of myself as an advisor, because what I encourage people to do is turn anything that you're passionate about into a fundraiser for something you're passionate about. So whether it's a 5K or a workout, or the other thing that we did a couple years ago is we created a community cookbook, because mm-hmm. I love to cook and I love to frequent all the shops and restaurants. So we created a community cookbook of 150 recipes from local moms, chefs, restaurants, and shops. And we sell that at Savory Spice in Princeton and other locations. And 100% of those proceeds benefit Room to Read as well.
So once again, you like you just said, you create events and products, and all that is donated on your blood and sweat.
Yep. And creativity.
And creativity. So tell us a little bit about that book. I love books that have like old world and homemade recipes in them. So what's in there?
It's called Recipes Worth Reading,
mm-hmm.
and we've got some moms gave their standard chicken recipe. We've got recipes from a chef from the Bernard's Inn, different pasta recipes. We did 10 chapters, and at the time, Room to Read was in 10 countries, and so the first chapter or the first recipe in each chapter is a native dish of the country. Then the rest of them are normal American palate type dishes.
Right.
Jane's Kitchen's got a couple recipes in there. Breezy Organic Snackery. Dr. Joel Furman. I got a few recipes from his dietitian because he's very prominent in these lands, and I believe I love his books.
Yep.
So I reached out to anybody and everybody I could think of that had anything to do with food.
And it sounded like when you packaged that contact information, you said that was the point, and they just delivered a recipe to you for the sake of the book?
Correct, yeah. I told them what our mission was and what I was doing and why I was doing it, and then they were forthcoming.
Any memorable notes that were tagged onto that about, you know, thank or participating or hoping it's going to contribute?
You mean as a result? Or?
Yeah, when they sent it off to you, when you sent them a note and you said, this is what it's all about, could you contribute a recipe? Did you get any feedback back from them when they delivered a recipe about how they how they kind of identified with what your mission was all about?
Some people did, but I think people are just so busy. They definitely want to help, especially chefs. Chefs are so busy. Jim Weaver was very, very helpful and forthcoming. He was the instigator of the whole slow food movement here in New Jersey, mm-hmm. and I'm a member of that, and so he was wonderful in helping. He gave me a bunch of recipes. So I just, and again, it's selfishly, I love to cook, and I love to, the other people that I stalk besides CEOs and business people are chefs. I'm a self-proclaimed chef stalker, so it was just right up my alley to pursue all of this.
A chef stalker. I'm looking for where you fit in sleep, Nicole. I heard about all your volunteering, going to the soup kitchen, you're cooking at home, which is, and it doesn't sound like you're slapping together chicken fingers all the time. And then you're doing this, you're planning events, you're on the web talking to 50 chapters all over the world. Somehow you've decided that your volunteerism is what you're all about. Is that the full Nicole, or is there other things in behind the scenes that also make you happy?
Well, the reason I am sleeping so much is that because I have 5 children, and when I was birthing and nursing these children, I didn't sleep through the night for an entire decade. So that definitely slowed me down. So then once I started sleeping again and the kids started going off to school, then my energy ramped right up. And I really am so fortunate that I can do what I love. You know, my husband has a good job, and so... Yeah. He makes the money, and then I give it away to charity.
That's nice.
That's our arrangement.
Yeah, you told me that one off the air. I'm glad you got it in there on air, because I would have. So, very cool. We're going to take another quick break. We're going to talk to Nicole a little bit more about her future plans for Room to Read and some future events that might be coming up. And plus, we'll give you a little bit more insight and how to register for this event that's coming up on the 19th. Hang on. You're listening to Good Morning Huntington? No, you're not. You're listening to Talented People. I'm on autopilot. Talented People with Jeannie Murphy, but I am not Jeannie Murphy. I'm Big C, and we'll be right back with Nicole Smith.
I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
More big savings for your home? Just stop by your neighborhood Lowe's
store. All right, welcome back to Talented People. So I was going to say good morning, Hunterdon, again. We got talking with Nicole Smith, and she's helping us understand about Room to Read and that mission, but she's also here to help and talk about volunteering in general. And we were kind of delving into that a little bit, but I wanted to make sure we got talking about Room to Read and the event that was coming up. But I want to circle back to that. I don't know if it's age for me. I've seen it with other folks as well, but somehow when you're in your 20s, in your 30s, you're climbing the corporate ladder, you're fighting tooth and nail to succeed in your life, and then somehow it turned the corner and you're trying to help and build a legacy and help others who don't have it as well as you do, or you're trying to make it easier for them. Seems to me that you've been doing this your whole life and you've just kind of embodied that whole passion. And then we have this whole other thing now where, as you said, in the schools, we're trying to teach this concept of being charitable in the schools, and we're kind of mandating it. And I'm wondering, from your perspective, are we doing better at it, too? When the schools mandate it, does it mean the same to the kids?
I think it depends. Like I said, if you've never been exposed to it through your family or your church or your community and it's mandated in the school, then maybe that's your first exposure to it. Because I believe in anything in life, exposure is the key. Expose your kids, expose yourself to as many variables as you can to see what sticks, to see what resonates with you, to see what drives you. Because I believe we thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Yeah. So whether you're lucky enough to have that in your job, whether you take solace in your family and your community or in your church. I think church and religion isn't as prominent in people's lives as it used to be for some people,
no. Yep.
Which is sad on one account, but there's room for exploration. But I firmly believe that helping other people is kind of a religion in itself, because I believe that's what we were put on this earth to do.
Yeah.
So whether it's something simple like walking your neighbor's child to school so that mom or dad can get to work on time. I know people that do that. Or whether it's a more formal volunteer involvement like Habitat for Humanity or raising money or making phone calls or baking cookies. There's so many ways to get involved. It's just kind of sitting with yourself, taking a moment to reflect and just wait to see what approaches you or what catches your eye and then doing something.
Yeah. One of the things that I recognize in it, and it's some of the things that I give people advice to do, is there's a transactional part of being a volunteer, meaning you're using it as an opportunity to kind of hone some new skills that you might not have the opportunity to do in a job. People aren't going to hire you in certain cases because you don't have the experience to do whatever. But a voluntary organization or volunteer opportunity, they're pretty much welcoming you to try anything and do anything and show your stuff. So transactionally and skill building, I think, is a pretty cool thing. But then you're suggesting that there's an internal fulfillment.
Correct.
And those are two completely different things. Where do you fit on that scale? You're obviously fulfilled internally on it, but is there something else that's transactionally that you're benefiting from or you're enjoying out of it?
Well, I come from the business world, but mm-hmm. I didn't know anything about the nonprofit world, how they work, the executive director, the grants, and all that. So, but the nice thing is now all of that is being married in the term social entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. So that's what John was one of the first, the founder of Room to Read. And so you'll see more and more organizations adopting a more efficient business type approach and making people more accountable and action and yeah. oriented. And that's where you say the kids or millennials or anybody that comes in with a skill set or wants to learn a skill set, the nonprofit environment is the perfect place to spread your wings and cut your teeth and figure it out, because it's because of the nature of what it is. Yeah. You can learn skills that you can carry on then into a career.
Yeah, nonprofits are in a very competitive situation right now. There's so many of them that are popping up. It used to be that they would just, you know, a certain person came up with a cause and they were the only one on the block, and people would flock to them to help if they believed in the mission. Now you're saying you got to be efficient. There's a competition for that charitable dollar, and
correct.
If you're not very good at it as an organization, you're going to wither if you don't do it. So our nonprofits have to be much more efficient nowadays, right?
Right, and so many people, their heart is in the right place, but again, yeah. it takes a specific skill set yeah. to bring your vision to fruition or partner with somebody or gather the right people. But the other thing I want to point out is that I'm reading this really good book right now called The Vanishing American Adult by the Republican senator from Nebraska, Ben Sasse. Have you heard yeah. of it?
No, but oh, I love gosh. The title.
Oh, but it's true. It is so true. But the other thing that he points out a lot of things, but the thing that he points out is that one of the other things lacking from our society is that age groups are so segregated. You've got the 55 and older communities, you've got the preschools, you've got the kids that are grouped by the year they were born in their sports and things like that, mm-hmm. and all that's good, but he's saying the intergenerational mingling is gone from society today, and there's a lot of value that's gone with that. So volunteering is one way where you can meet people from different background, people that are older, people that are younger, people you can mentor, people you can learn from, and it's just a melting pot of so many yeah. opportunities. And so that's another reason I would encourage people to just either go with your friend to their church and see where they need help, or wander down the street and work at the animal shelter, whatever interests you, just explore that.
Yeah. It breaks down the doors and the barriers of our diversity problems as well, doesn't it?
Yep.
If you're constantly in the game with all these other people of ethnicities and age and gender, you're going to have a different perspective. If you're in those little buckets like you were talking about, there's a good tendency to just keep talking about them over there and not mm-hmm. Be involved with them. What would your suggestion be to somebody to find their passion? Because not every charity fits everybody's skill set or everybody's passion. I don't want to keep using that word, but if you're not deeply committed, you're not going to enjoy it.
Right.
So how do you find it? How did you find your stuff?
Well, you have to have an open mindset,
right.
And the best advice I would give someone is find someone that you know that's passionate about what they do. Because sometimes you like to do things with your friends or people you know, mm-hmm. and if your friend says, hey, come on down to the animal shelter with me, I know you're not crazy about dogs, but maybe you can help out with the website or do something in the office. So if you just start to get exposed to an environment or an organization that where you have a friend that can kind of show you the ropes of what they do, then you can maybe find that's a fit for you, or maybe it's not a fit for you, but then you kind of know what the routine is, at least at that organization, and then more opportunities will start coming your way. You just have to be open to it,
right.
and keep your eyes open, because you never know what's going to come by if you're just open to having it enter your life.
How do you learn? Any ideas how you learn about all the different opportunities that are out there?
There's a website called volunteermatch.org. Mm-hmm. That's one that's national. NORWSCAP is here. Some of the big ones, Habitat for Humanity, always have us opportunities. There's look at your local paper, look at your local church bulletin. There's always, my local paper, the Burnsville News, there's always something going on, whether Cancer for Kids or the Breast Cancer Walk. you just start Googling different things or type in to Google volunteer whales or what, you know, just kind of start. You
volunteer
just have to,
and whatever you're interested in.
Yeah, I mean, just take a few minutes to do some searching and see what pops up.
Yep. And then I guess pairing your time. It's one thing to volunteer, and you've obviously made a big commitment over your time, but the other challenge is getting past the I don't have the time or I'm too busy routine. So there are opportunities, but how do you find the opportunities that can fit your time and your passion?
Well, I would say find an organization first that seems interesting to you, and then just be upfront about asking questions, because definitely that's why I got to stay away from the PTO, because you will get sucked in. No mercy. So you just have to be firm with your time and talk to whoever and say, I'm willing to donate, or I'm willing to give 2 hours a month or to start small, and just stick to your guns, because you don't want to be drug in and then hate it.
Right.
That's not the goal.
So be your own advocate, even though you're volunteering. Somehow, though, some of those charities can draw too much. They ask too much, and you have to manage that.
Correct.
Well, we're almost out of time, Nicole. So let's get back to your event that's coming up on the 19th. It's going to be at Lone Eagle. How do people get to be part of it?
It's available on Eventbrite, and it's called Beers Plus Careers, Beers and Careers. So you can, we're on Facebook, Room to Read New Jersey, Twitter, Room to Read NJ. You can email me at rtrnicolesmith@gmail.com, roomtoread.org, look up New Jersey under chapters. There's different, but basically Eventbrite. Go into Eventbrite and type in Beers and Careers, Lone Eagle. You can go into Lone Eagle's website or Facebook page. Mike McAllitz, I think he's got it up there. There's different places, or you can just show up. Well, got to get a ticket. $30 a ticket, and you get a flight of beers. We're going to have some food there,
woo-hoo!
Giveaways.
$30 and a flight of beer? Nice.
Yep. Yes. If you use Nicole in the promo code, NICOLE, you should get $5 off.
Nice. All right. Can't beat that. It's an award-winning pub and brewery over there, and so it's not a pub, it's just a brewery. I got to make that distinction, or Bob King's going to kill me. They don't serve food there, that's why it's not a pub. It's just a brewery, a microbrewery, but it's a great place to go and venture, and you might even learn a little bit about all the old Stangle area over there and having some good times and meeting some great folks that you can start volunteering with. Very cool. Appreciate having you on, Nicole. It's been a lot of very informative evening.
Thank you.
And I wish you the best of luck with your next endeavor here, which is Room to Read, and a big event on October 19th.
Thank you.
All right. That's Nicole Smith, Room to Read. So give her a look-see and check out what that's all about and help those folks out, 14 countries that are having so much more challenges than we even can fathom here in Hunterdon County. Jeannie Murphy will be back next week. You've been listening to Talented People on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy says the California wildfires are devastating.
This is an incredibly serious situation. There were 17 dead and hundreds who are still missing.
In a Capitol briefing today, the California Republican said the House will move quickly to provide disaster aid. House Speaker Paul Ryan called the wildfires nightmarish.
I just want to commend the firefighters, the first responders, who are risking their lives to help people fight these fires and to save people.
Ryan said a disaster relief package will include help for Puerto Rico after Hurricane Maria and should be ready to go sometime this week. More than 2,000 homes and businesses have been destroyed, and about 75,000 people are without power. Collectively, the fires are among the deadliest in California's history. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies.
I'm 75 years old, and I don't eat enough vegetables or fruit, and this is a great thing to do, and it seems that I have more energy. It seems that, I take that, and I take a lot of, blood pressure pills and cholesterol, but my doctor tells me, he said, no, you might cut the dosage down on your pills, because what are you taking? I said, Balance of Nature. He didn't know what it was, so I told him, I said, it's fruits and vegetables condensed into little pill form. He goes, well, whatever it is, it's doing you a lot of good.
Good health is only a phone call away. What are you waiting for? Don't miss your opportunity to get a free month's supply of Balance of Nature. Call 1-800-2468-751. That's 1-800-2468-751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com.
Use promo code USA.
The Federal Emergency Management Administration and a House commission today both approved sizable financial assistance for relief efforts to help Puerto Rico recover from Hurricanes Maria and Irma. Also today, the House Appropriations Committee approved a bill for $36.5 billion, which would go into a more